Hey there, I'm your host Alexis Newland and you're listening to The Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Brave Podcast. I'm your host Alexis Newland and I am so stoked to have you here with me today. I think this is episode either 48 or 49. I have completely lost count. This is the final episode for 2020. I decided to take the month of December off just to take a break and to catch up and to just enjoy family time during the holidays. It has been such a great year with podcasting. I know the rest of the year has been kind of rough, but doing this podcast during this year where it's been all chaos, it's just been so great to bring you guys new people every week. And when I first started this thing, most of the guests that I had were my friends, and my friends were really gracious. I'm so thankful to them. I'll say their names: Katie, Tammy Joe, Tammy Altus, my friend Sam, who's the whole reason this started. Well, not the complete reason, but she helped me with a big push to get this in this direction to start it. My friends Ron, Elena, Marissa. If I miss people, I'm so sorry. But you guys, those friends who are like, yeah, sure, I'll do this. You guys are absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your story and coming on the show. And I will probably have most of you guys back. And then through this podcasting medium, I met all these other people. And thank you so much to Sarah Bean, who introduced me to all these amazing authors, have become friends with them. If you'd have asked me when I started this thing that I would be interviewing people I didn't know, because I figured like when I started this, I had all my friends lined up that I wanted to ask. When people who didn't know me, it's like, hey, can I be on your show? I'm like, what? Okay. And so it's just been such a blessing. And doing this podcast has shown me that all you have to do is say yes to what God asked you to do, and he just basically fills in the blanks. So yeah, it's just been great. I also want to thank my friend Sarah. I'm thinking of people as I'm like doing this intro. Sorry, it's kind of off the cuff. But my friend Sarah and Richard, who shared their story, Nicole and Michael Moses and then Marnie. And there's just so many people who just have made this podcast amazing. So thank you. If I didn't mention you, I still love you. I'm still super grateful for you being a guest, and you are what made the show such a success. So thank you so, so much. In January, we'll have new episodes, either going to be starting the second week or third week of January, but I'll let you guys know. But for the month of December, I'm going to be re-advertising, I suppose, or reposting your favorite episodes. So there were some episodes that people absolutely love, so I'm bringing those guests not back, but kind of re-showing their episode again or re-advertising them. And then one of our guests, your favorite guest, we're going to do a live. So I'll let you guys know through social media, through email, when that live is going to happen. So you can ask her all the questions you have and she'll talk about new content. She already said yes, so I'm super stoked. I'm kind of giving away that it's a girl, but you guys love this person. So she's coming back for a live on Facebook and Instagram. So stay tuned to that. That's later in the month. Thank you guys again for listening every week. I appreciate you guys. It's been such a blessing to bring this content to you, and I can't wait to do this all again next year. All right. So this week's guest and the final guest for 2020 is Juan Lee. His book is Love Made Simple, and it is such a timely read and timely book for our current political, economic, racial, all of the stuff that's going on right now. His book is great. He basically boils it down to this. If we all just had love, a lot of this stuff would not be happening. If we looked at each other in a way of like, how can I love this person? How can I serve this person even though I'm different than you or you're different than me? His book basically talks about that. It was so great to sit down and talk with him. He is a military veteran, first-time author, and was just, I loved it. It was such a rich, wonderful time to just sit and hang out with him. All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in. This was a super long intro, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. I love you all, and I will see you with new episodes in 2020. So without further ado, here is my interview with Juan Lee. So this is The Brave Podcast, and my guest today is Juan Lee. Hi, Juan. Introduce yourself to people why you're awesome.
Hello. Hi, I'm Juan Lee. I'm the author of Love Made Simple, a book about inner peace, contentment, and success. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, great. I'm glad to have you. So let's get into your book and what caused you to write about this subject.
Well, I guess we can start on my particular journey.
Okay. My
journey started off as, well, let me, I guess it's a little bit, let's back up. My journey basically was an undiagnosed learning disability.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was 37 years old when I officially got diagnosed with a learning disability. And that basically sets the background for my entire life.
Oh, wow.
I mean, to be honest with you, academics was extraordinarily difficult. I mean, extraordinarily difficult. I really missed learning about who I am.
Yeah.
I was struggling in life in general. I can tell you when I graduated high school, it was very hopeless. I felt very hopeless. Mm-hmm. It was not as though I learned who I was. I looked like I was just pushed through the system and out the door and on to the next group. And so the thing that really impacted me the most, I mean, you can't tell you how frustrating 18 years old, actually 17 years old at the time, and was literally hopeless.
Yeah.
Literally hopeless. I had joined the military. I had taken the test to join the military.
Okay.
And I had basically got accepted into the Air Force, surprising me.
Wow.
I mean, because I had no idea that that was a possibility. And yet I got in. So all of that is like the background. And there's this in additional things are in my book. But that basically set the background for me getting to the point where I wrote the book. The book is as a result of me finding my way through that experience, my journey. And a lot of it came from and led me to religion.
Okay.
Which in turn got me to this point to write the book about love.
Yeah.
Because I've realized that our journey is really based on the ability to love.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And no matter what your circumstances or situation is, it comes from the ability to be able to communicate one to another love.
All right.
And that's where it came to me, how I made it through this journey, knowing that I couldn't do it by myself. I needed help. And the more I accepted that help, the better I would become. Mm-hmm. The things that would behoove me, I couldn't walk around thinking that this thing was all, I was going to make this thing on my own.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that is very important that people understand that this thing called life, this journey that we're on, we can't do it by ourselves.
No, we can't.
I don't care where you are, how you view it. No one's doing this thing on their own.
Mm-mm.
And that's basically the tone of the book is no matter who you are, where you are, what you are, we're in this thing together.
Yeah.
And so that's where I got to the point Love Made Simple, because my experience with love having coming through religion caused some issues for me.
What issues were those?
As it relates to the ability of unifying.
Okay.
The ability of unifying, really making it something that is not exclusive, but inclusive.
Yeah.
And I saw that being challenged a lot as relates to religion.
Okay.
And so it forced me to see or to seek out those things that we all have in common. Mm-hmm. And the thing that we all have in common is humanity.
Yeah.
Humanity supersedes any doctrine or any situation or circumstances or background or history. We're all standing under the umbrella of humanity. And when we're able to understand it, because for me, my book is about how I use love. I use love to express my feelings towards humanity.
Okay.
You know, love made simple for me is for humanity. It's for us to be able to share one another with one another. Mm-hmm. This thing is, it's bigger than just me. It's bigger than just you or anyone else.
Yeah.
Humanity, it was here before we came. It's here now.
Yeah.
And we're hoping to prolong humanity into the future. All we have is this little glimpse of time to invest into humanity.
Okay.
And that's what love showed me as to my role in my journey as it relates to humanity.
Okay. Could you explain what you mean by humanity real quick for the listeners?
Humanity is you and I. Mm-hmm. It's existence. It's the ability to, you and me equal humanity.
Yeah.
And everyone else that possesses space on this earth is humanity. It's what we all possess. That existence is humanity.
Okay.
It's a consciousness.
Okay. What do you believe the root of love is?
The very fundamental thing is, it takes a sacrifice.
Okay.
Love is a sacrifice. And there are many other components to it, but when it all runs down, hits the fan, when it really comes down to it, it's, are you willing to give of self for someone else?
Yeah.
That's a part of my story. I learned this, and to be honest with you, this message was something that was expressed and demonstrated to me while I was in the military. I spent 9 years in the Air Force.
Okay.
And it basically showed me the very tenets of love without using love, because my mission was greater than any one of us.
Okay.
It was about defending national defense. It was about giving your life potentially for the greater good. And that's the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
To be able to have that attitude to say, I'm willing to give this for someone else.
Yeah.
So that someone else's day will be long. That's it. I mean, it's a very humbling experience, a selfless attitude, and it's something that it can't be defeated.
Yeah. And that's what Jesus did for us, right? That's why we're able to live in knowing that Jesus died for our sins. That's the ultimate sacrifice. And sacrifice often includes some pain, some serious pain.
It's called, you know, let's be able to duplicate that example.
Yeah.
And it's a daily walk.
Yeah, it is.
It's the ability to be able to do that and understand that every day.
Yeah. So what are some things that keep people from walking in love?
Interesting that you should say that. They are things like weakness.
Okay.
Things like, boy, pride.
Yeah.
Selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking, really those things that, thinking that you're somebody that you're not, not being able to operate in your fullness. And I was telling you about my experiences as it relates to education and not really identifying myself. And as a result, I was always searching and trying to figure out myself. And when you're unable to know who you are, you don't know what you have to give.
Yeah.
You don't know what you have to offer. And so it's a very frustrating experience to go through life searching for who you are and knowing that your whole existence is about giving who you are and what you are.
Yeah.
And not having or knowing what that is, that will prevent you from loving, from being able to love, because you don't know how to. You don't know what it takes. You don't know what you have to give to love. You don't know how to love.
Yeah. I think that's what's wrong with a lot of our world today and why there's so much division and anger. If you go on social media for maybe like 2 seconds, you see it just everywhere. You forget that, like you said, we're all human. We all have this in common, but we're so focused on our differences instead of focusing on what makes us all the same, like you said, our humanity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's my message, to be honest with you. We need to focus on the things we have in common and not the things that divide us.
Yeah.
You know, and love, I don't know anyone, I don't care where you are, that when you feel love, that you don't embrace it.
Yeah.
No one turns and runs away from love. And we all possess the ability to possess it.
Yeah.
To be able to share it because it's within us. It's the ability to be able to give. We're taught to be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll hoard things. And as though we can, you know, the example that you might want to use in as you look through the scripture, and it talks about those animals that they don't store up stuff.
Yeah.
They just live for the day.
Yeah.
And yet we, supposedly being more intelligent, we affect everything based on my.
Mm-hmm.
And storing it up. But to actualize it, to be able to understand that today is all you really have.
Yeah, really.
Today.
Yeah.
When you grasp that concept, something that I shared with my wife yesterday, maybe it was earlier today, and it's like, our journey is about a preparation. Our journey is today.
Yeah.
And it's only to prepare for tomorrow, in the sense that whatever we learn today in our journey, that we're better off for it tomorrow. We're better prepared for tomorrow. And the fact of the matter is that it doesn't matter whether or not it, because tomorrow's not promised.
No, it's not.
But the opportunity to make it what we gain from today is what we're striving for tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? And so if we were to grasp that attitude, if we were to have that attitude and understand that the moment is what we have, let's not put off what we have the ability to do today.
Yeah.
And just focus on what we have, our abilities. You know, I know it seems kind of far-fetched to be able to think that we could live like this, but this is an attitude. These days build on each other.
Yeah.
But it's a one-day attitude that allows you to look back after 20 years, 30 years and go, wow, look at what I've accomplished.
Yeah.
Because it's one day at a time focused on maximizing every day. It's amazing how 24-hour cycle just recycles.
Mm-hmm.
One 24-hour day recycles.
Yeah.
And you get to do it again. And it's almost as though, what are you carrying into the next 24-hour cycle?
Yeah.
What do you have to offer that you didn't have as a result of the previous 24 hours that you're going to carry into the next 24 hours. And with that attitude, man, there's growth every day.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely a different way of looking at things. Because a lot of us are also future-minded, so we don't really think, we don't know how to live in the moment.
The future, we have no control over it.
Yeah, no control.
But if we maximize today, we can dictate, we can influence the future.
Yeah.
That's a powerful ability to be able to do that, to be able to know that we're living in a time that we can influence the future. And I'm talking about as soon as tomorrow, but as far as forever.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand that, you're talking about the ability to influence people that will be into a place that maybe you won't be.
Yeah.
But yet you had this time and space to influence them by not only your personal interaction, but the personal interactions that you interact with other people, with the things that you leave. My book is a source of leaving for the future, my legacy.
Yeah.
And in hope that no matter when someone picks it up, how they pick it up, that there'll be something in there that will assist them in their journey called life.
Yeah. Any small act matters. It really does. And it spreads. If you were kind to one person, they in turn will be kind to another. And it just spreads like wildfire, just as being mean to someone also spreads. But if you use that good, you can impact in such a better way than being ugly to others.
It's the power of love.
Yeah.
It is absolutely. Here's the other thing. Love is a choice. You just brought it up. You just mentioned, you says that it can be as hate or it can be love. But guess what? It's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm suggesting here is that you choose love.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And what I'm saying in saying that it's made simple is that when we choose to love, it's not hard. Now, okay, let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase that. It's not difficult.
Yeah.
But it can be, well, hold on. Let me back that up.
Oh, you're fine.
It's simple.
Yeah.
Okay. But I didn't say it was easy.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. It's simple, not to say that it's easy, because I know life is challenging.
It is.
Okay. But when you know the attitudes that can help you through this journey, then things become a little bit clearer.
Yeah.
With the right attitude. And love, I think, when love is being the example that you're trying to demonstrate, and the right attitude that gets you to that example, I think that's where we miss a lot of times, because we want to do right,
mm-hmm.
but our attitudes are almost, in so many instances, prevent us from doing right.
Yeah.
It's because we're aligned differently or wrong. You know, we don't even know what it takes to get to love. And so we will think that wherever we are, it's okay to try to present love or to reach love. It's not that, you know, in scripture, it talks about straight is the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the example there is that there is a way to love.
Yeah.
But here's the point. You just can't come at it any kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to understand what it takes to get to love and then plot the course to reach there, to get there. And each one of us have a different course. And what we've done in so many cases is that we've made that course predetermined.
Hmm.
No. Each and every one of us has a way to love, and it has to be, you're the only one that's going to be able to get you there. In the sense of understanding that place called love requires your attention,
mm-hmm.
your consciousness. You've got to make decisions that is going to be in line with love every day, to make the choice to get to love.
Yeah.
To stay at love, to maintain love. It's a daily process.
It really is. And there's so many things that get in the way of it, like unforgiveness and, like you said, selfishness and just this me-centered culture. And so for in your life, how did you start implementing this? When did you start implementing this walk of love?
I'll be honest with you. While I was in the military, and I've always been involved with religion all my life. And so when I got tired of being sick and tired,
mm-hmm.
I still had no diagnosis for my learning disability. I mean, my road in the military was challenging to the point where I didn't even know. It took me a year after I entered into the Air Force to know whether or not I was going to be able to stay in the Air Force because of my learning disability, which I did not know I had. I went through basic training, tech school, my first duty station. And when I got to my first duty station, they told me, now, hear me out. I passed everything that was asked for me to do.
Yeah.
In all of those things, physical, written, everything. There was a test that I had to take, and I had 6 months to pass it or I was going to be discharged.
A lot of stress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it took me to the third time to pass it, never having ever seen the test, the results of the test. I got the results, but I never saw the actual test.
Yeah.
And I realized that we need each other in that time.
Yeah.
I gave it all I had. And I don't know how I passed that test.
Yeah.
But I had 9 years after that. 8 years I stayed in after that.
Okay.
And I was pretty well accomplished while I was in there.
Okay.
It meant everything to me, my military experience. It showed me the things that I had been hearing about in religion. I saw it practically being applied. And I know it seems strange when you talk about the military being a destroying vehicle, but the attitudes and the concepts that they demonstrate, it's second to none. Because you basically have a group of people that have basically determined to sacrifice their existence for others. And you want to talk about a team.
Yeah.
They don't get any better than that.
I used to work with the military. I'm a recreation therapist. And so I worked in the PTSD unit of our psych hospital. And so I'd get military guys all the time. And part of our treatments, we would do team building. And the military guys were by far, like, we would throw our hardest team builders and they would succeed in like 5 minutes. They're like, what are you doing? We're trained our whole lives to work as a team. And they were all different. They were like Air Force, Army, Marines, and they would tease each other about wherever they were in. And they would sometimes bicker. But when you put them at a team task, it didn't matter who was what. They just served each other. And I was just like, wow. And I would try every hard team builder I could to throw at these guys. And they're like, you're not going to defeat us. Like, we're always going to work together. It was not one single man. It was every man. They were just so connected. It was just so beautiful to see that. They were my favorite group to work with.
You have to understand, we might put on a different uniform,
mm-hmm.
but it's all the same mission. And when you're talking about team building, we worked. I mean, the Air Force needed the Army. The Army needed the Air Force. The Marines needed the Army. We didn't work apart from each other. The military is like your body. You can't say to your head or your arm, I don't need you.
Yeah. That's in Corinthians. Yeah.
You can't say to the Air Force, oh, I don't need you. We're taking this mountain by ourselves. Okay. We the one that lay down the fire so you can back it up so you can get that hill.
Yeah.
So we can back them off so you can get there. We take you to where you need to go so that you can get that hill. Look, when we get there, we need somebody to protect us. When the Air Force went there, we needed the Marines and the Army to protect us because we couldn't do our job if we were looking over our shoulders.
Exactly.
So everybody has their own part. So when you're talking about putting a team together, oh, you can grab anybody. I don't care when they served. They're going to come together. We're going to come together.
Yeah. And it's such a cool mindset to see, and how I think how it would help us in our own world if we just, like you said earlier, stop looking at our differences and worked on coming together and having one sole purpose is to love each other and to love one another instead of tearing each other down. What an impact we can make.
You can't imagine the impact you make when you look at things that look like they're insurmountable.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, when you come together, that which looks big becomes small.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing looking uphill by yourself versus looking uphill, when you got somebody that's standing on your shoulders and somebody standing and you're standing on somebody else's shoulder, you look at that hill and it's like eye to eye.
Yeah.
It's a way to beat this thing. And the thing about it is that it's almost like whether or not you beat it or not,
mm-hmm.
it's about the journey.
It is, yeah.
It's about the journey. Because you know what? As many as we've lost in the military, that same mindset is the journey they were willing to adhere to or go to or go on, irrespective as to what the outcome would be. So the journey meant everything. The outcome, it's a cherry on the top. But the fact of the matter is, it's the journey that means everything. So you throw them in any kind of a situation, it's the journey. It's not whether or not we get there. This is what we're going to put together to get there. I mean, we'll look at our situation in our country right now with the political situation.
Oh, my word. Oh, it's so ugly.
We are focusing on who wins rather than the journey.
Yeah.
The journey is becoming toxic.
Yeah, it is.
The journey is toxic. And that's the very fiber of our democracy.
Yeah.
And they've made that into being toxic. I mean, you got people who, they are bent on the outcome. And the outcome leaves us supposedly all united.
Yeah.
It doesn't appear that that's
what's happening right now. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like I said, I think my book is perfect for this time. If we only would begin to see ourselves through our neighbor's eyes.
Yeah. You know?
And when we begin to look at one another in the same vein as of self and say, look, hey, they're as important that I am. You know, they talk about that in Corinthians as it relates to talking about loving your wife. Hey, I want the best for her. She wants the best for me. My neighbors, I want the best for them. They should want the best for me. My community. You know, we should want the best
for each other
in our community. But that's an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's a selfless attitude.
Yeah. And that's what will save us, honestly, if we stop looking at ourselves and look at the group as a whole. What do we all need to do to survive? What do we all need to make this work?
I think it's a choice that people need to understand the benefit. And here's the catch. The benefit to all of this is that we can all walk through this journey in a state of peace. That we have that ability. Peace is not something that's external. Peace is internal.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're able to possess this love, we can operate in that peace. We can actualize that peace because the external circumstances don't indicate whether or not I'm peaceful or not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where we are in this country right now with the political thing. My peace is based on what happens. If my guy wins,
yeah,
has nothing to do with my peace. If my guy wins or my guy loses, my peace is within me. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're after. Oh, man, to be able to walk in a state like that, that's what success is. That's peace.
Yeah, it is.
Being able to confront challenges and have peace. Yeah. It's not about the outcome. It's not. It really isn't about the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's the journey. It's the process of going through this thing with peace.
Yeah. Amen to that. That's all I can say because it's what's important. When I focused on all the stressful things, when you look at what the news is saying and what's on social media and what people are telling you and all the external stuff, that external input, it's taken away my peace. And God's like, no, come to me, talk to me. He's like, don't worry about that stuff. What matters is me. I'm the ultimate goal. I matter. None of that matters. He's like, you will have peace if you focus on me, if you keep your eyes on me and not on all the other stuff, because that stuff just pulls you away and distracts you and causes anger and anxiety and that division. And it doesn't do any good purpose at all.
Nope.
It's terrible. Yeah.
That's the state of the union.
Yeah.
Each of us has the ability to change that state. We walk out the door, we wake up in the morning, and we can choose to love in spite of our environment, our circumstances, our situation. It's a choice.
Yeah, it is a choice. All right, Juan, my final question for you is, when did you decide that you were brave?
Boy, you know, it's interesting. One of the chapters in my book is called Being Courageous. Well, it's not called Being Courageous, but the end result of it is being courageous. And I had to really basically, my learning disabilities, I just couldn't give up.
Yeah.
I was 37 years old before I found out what my challenge was.
And I wanted to ask you, what led you to like go seek that out and find out if something was wrong?
Because of that struggle.
Yeah.
See, there was nothing, you know, life, my learning disability, they summed it up they put me in special education, but they never identified what the problem was. I just couldn't do what everybody else was doing.
Yeah.
And what happened is what I've come to find out is that I had a memory deficiency.
Okay.
And so when something comes into me, it goes right out. So you can imagine having to learn the very fundamental things and then building on them. I was unable to build anything because it wasn't retaining anything.
Yeah.
So everything that I was remembering was rote in the sense that it was conscious. It was consciously reading. And so the test that they give you when they give you a test for comprehension, my best that I would do was be able to read the word. To be able to read the sentence and put it into context, to be able to comprehend all of those words in a sentence, you can imagine my struggle.
Yeah, it's really hard.
So when you say, I spent my energy just reading the word, less more the context of putting them together and understanding the sentence. That was my life.
Oh, that's hard.
That was my life.
Yeah.
And so I just never, I mean, there were times in my life where drugs came towards me and I looked at them and I said, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't afford to put another negative thing on me. I had, you know, when I was in high school, kids were doing everything under the sun, but I couldn't. And to be honest with you, if I had, I don't think I'd ever gotten to the place where I am now. I just knew it was something wrong, but I wouldn't give up. I kept on. I was married. I was married about 3 or 4 years. And my wife found this at the University of Maryland here. They have a special educational learning department and found the guy that administered a test that showed me that I had this memory deficiency. And I was 37 years old. And it didn't mean that things were going to change.
Mm-hmm.
It was just that I understood now
what
I needed to do, how I needed to present myself, what I needed to do. I mean, the mere fact that I've written a book.
It's a miracle, yeah.
You tell me. When it came out of my mouth as a thought, I couldn't imagine it. Because this is the worst thing, the one thing I never wanted to do was to pick up a book. And now I've written one.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. But it's the ability to just not quit. I mean, I'm still not quitting. I'm looking at it day to day and I'm not quitting. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if that's the message for your audience is that, you know, bravery is just not quitting.
Yeah.
Every day you get an opportunity to just say, I'm not going to quit. And when you maximize each day, man, you'll get to a place that you'll be able to be very proud of it and feel real good about yourself, because that'll be that peace that will surpass all understanding.
Yeah.
I had no idea what my challenge was, but I just didn't want to stop. I wouldn't stop.
All right. Juan, thank you so much. This has been such an honor and a blessing to have you on the show today. And you've just given so much wisdom in such a short period of time.
Well, I really appreciate it. I look forward to, I've been looking forward to speaking with you. I mean, especially when you talked about Braveheart and bravery. Hey, we all have it in us. We just can't allow things to steal it from us.
Yeah.
You know, fear will prevent you from being brave.
It definitely will. Yes.
And that's essential to being able to sacrifice, to be humble.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you have to overcome that fear. You've got to get past the fear of loss. That's, to be honest with you, you asked me what are the things that hinder love? The fear of loss.
Yeah, it does.
That's a real big one.
Yeah, it really does. You fear that I either will be rejected or fear I'm going to lose this person. Why even bother? And then you're stuck.
But the fact of the matter is that the benefits of love, you have to get past that. Because what you have to offer and what that other person has to offer to you is in you getting over that fear.
Yeah. It definitely is. And Juan, where can people find your book or your teachings or?
Hey, I'm first of all, you can go to my website, JuanLeeTheAuthor.com, or you can go directly to Amazon and you can get it there. But if you go to my website and if you sign up to meet the author,
yeah,
I'm offering an opportunity for you to meet me personally right here, like on Zoom.
Okay.
And we can discuss how love can, you know, assist you in your journey and allow, you know, because everyone has their own separate journey. And so how love can assist you in your journey. If you just sign up and we'll get a time that we can get together and we can help discuss your journey specifically and how love can help you.
That is wonderful. I will definitely put that all in the show notes so people can locate you and get in touch with you.
Yeah. And I'm on Facebook. I'm on Love Made Simple on Twitter. Juan Lee on Facebook. Juan Lee the author on Facebook. And Instagram also.
You're everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get the message of love out to share that it's, you know, it behooves you and it's a benefit to everyone.
Yes, it is.
Love.
It's so important. All right, Juan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I really appreciate you having me.
I appreciate this. This was great.
All right. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to the final episode for 2020 with my guest Juan Lee. You can find his books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and I will put his website and all the information about him in the show notes. So if you are interested in purchasing his book and learning more about him and reading the book, it'll all be there for you. So here are my three asks. Ask number one is subscribe. If you are loving what you're hearing and you want to be able to get the episodes in your podcatcher each week, you can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music now has podcasts, Pandora, iHeartRadio, did I say iTunes? iTunes, anywhere. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, you can subscribe to The Brave Podcast. Secondly, share the episode with a friend. If you heard something today that you absolutely loved and thought would be helpful for someone, go ahead and share this episode with them. And then finally, subscribe to the email list. If you want to be in the know of all the things that are going on with The Brave Podcast and are just interested in getting the episodes a day early, that's the way to do it, is being on the email list. Also, before I go, I should let you guys know of something cool I started doing. I'm offering merch. Yes, I am offering merch. There are t-shirts now. I'm looking at doing mugs and possibly hoodies because I love hoodies, but there are t-shirts, tanks, and hopefully mugs and hoodies to come. I had stickers, but I think they're all gone. But if you want stickers, I will definitely create those and put them in a shop. I'm still working on the shop piece of my website, and there's actually big changes coming with the Brave brand. So if you're on the email list, you will get that info. So just stay tuned. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in each week. Remember, the month of December, The Brave Podcast will be taking a break, but you can listen to your favorite episodes, and I will put on social media your guys' favorites from this year that you love, so you can go back and visit those or share them. Or if you missed episodes during all the election holiday stuff, go ahead and catch up. We've had some amazing guests. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate you all, and I will see you again in 2021. Isn't that crazy? Here is hoping and praying that 2021's a little bit nicer than 2020 was. All right. Love you guys, and we'll see you next time. Bye.